Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're coming to you live to encourage you. And joining me today to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Also, on the edge of the precipice of prophetic change, the land himself, John Ramos. Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio. We're going to talk about so many exciting things today. I'm going to talk to you about Texas, the land of the free, the land of the brave, the land where everybody's got a gun, so you behave. Also, we'll be talking, hopefully we can find out this information about the CPAC meeting taking place, the keys to success. We're going to be talking also about Fairfield, Texas, which is a very unique little town out there. The president is visiting Israel today. We're going to be talking about that. And also about how to accomplish things in your life, how important it is. There's something unique, the three things that all of us have. And if we understand that, then we can actually make things happen or be a part of making things happen in our life and so much more. Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Welcome up our new listeners. Rose, welcome to the VFN Radio program. And Barbara and Sandra and Ruth and Betty and Ruby and Katrina and David and Lorraine and Jeremy and Deb. And oh my goodness, so many of you can't even name you all. Ken, welcome to the VFN Radio audience where we're reaching the world for God. Keeping the conversation light. VFN Radio. The place to be encouraged. The place to be informed, and hopefully a place to laugh every now and then. Because joy, laughter is like good medicine, and we need it, and you don't need the government to provide that medicine. Yeah, so listen to VFN Radio. Here we are. It is today. Did you know it's today? It is today, and I'm so excited about today because I am back on the air. You know, traveling around, seeing some sights and seeing what God's doing, and just it's just so encouraging, you know, to be back.
Glad to have you back.
I know you guys are like, oh wow, we're pumped. Great, he's back, he's back. Oh no, oh my goodness, oh no. Of course, I was listening to VFN Radio, like, man, that sounds like me. What are you playing? Is that me talking? What's happening with all that? You know, I was thinking about, you know, because I got a chance to go to Texas, and when I think about somebody maybe in Egypt or somebody in Africa or somebody in Mexico or somebody in the world, they heard about this country called America. Hmm. And they're thinking about, wow, it's like land of the free and land of the brave, and that if you work hard, you can accomplish something, and you can be who you are, you can worship God freely, nobody's going to, you know, force, you're going to have to, you can live and you can succeed. And, you know, the only limit is your ability to do something. But then the America is, you know, if you've been listening to VFN Radio and watching what's happening, the America that we know that was like that, mm-hmm, is disappearing in our face. It's kind of just dissolving in our face. And of course it's not over. It can change, but you kind of get disheartened, you know? And as I begin to think about Texas, I'm thinking, man, I started having all those same feelings, you know, that somebody outside of America would have about coming to America. It's like, oh my goodness, I'm going to America. I'm going to Texas. I'm going to go there where they fly the American flag proudly and the Texan flag right beside it proudly. I'm going to go there where all the businesses who really want to do business the American way are seemingly interested in a state that's so big you can fit a whole bunch of us in it, states in it. That they're coming to, and that it is out of the top 10 places, it's like 6 of the top 10 places to work, right?
That's right. Cities. A place of employment for business.
And it's like, but when I'm going there, I'm like, oh my goodness, it just felt like I was coming into America. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh my goodness, I could be anything I want to be here. You know, and because since everybody's got a gun, I was real polite. You know? If I drove wrong on the road, you just pause for a moment and realize, okay, hey, no shots fired. Everything's good. I haven't offended my bar.
Just wave and smile.
Just wave and smile, right? And I was sitting, Donna was sitting in this restaurant and having a meal, and just the nicest people, just nice. And they just openly talk about the Lord and just you know, good people and a great bouquet of humanity. And I'm looking across the restaurant, and I see some Texans, and this is, you know, I'm talking good about Texas, but I'm looking across the restaurant of where we're sitting at. Look, I saw a Norman Rockwell painting, you know, where that is one, right? Anyway, so there were sitting four Texans, but you couldn't see the other two because the hats were too big. Yeah, yeah. They're actually sitting facing each other at this booth, and they had these big Stetsons on, these hats. And I'm looking at that thinking, that looks like a picture that we would hang on our wall. This is a reality here. And I found out why they wear hats. It's the sun, bro. It's like, oh, my goodness. But it's like dry heat. I mean, you hear the thing, you go, right, dry heat, whatever. And different than wet heat, like humidity.
Yeah, stick your head in the oven.
Yes, you're right. But the thing about it was, it was so, even though, you know, the temperatures were, you know, unusually high for this time of year, around 80 or something, it just didn't feel like that at all. It didn't feel like it at all. And, but then when I came back to the Gulf Coast, and they didn't have to even put us in seatbelts. We just kind of stuck to our seats in the plane, you know. And they just unstuck us, you know. And you just felt like wet. You just feel wet, you know. And went to go do some exercise. You know, on Monday.
Oh. Oh, she's looking kind of shapely.
Shapely. That was very nice. And
shapely.
Oh, I got to tell you about barbecue. I'm talking about barbecue. And so I go there, and because it feels so wet, I sweated profusely. I'm like, my head's wet. I'm like, what's going on? I'm only going 1 mile an hour on the treadmill. What's happening here, you know? I don't do that. I mean, it's an air conditioner. And it's amazing how quickly your body adjusts. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, it's kind of mildewy down here. You know, it's like everything. The dryness, you know, mildew can't even survive in a dry environment. But I don't think dirt can either. But yeah, and I was like, you just don't know. And it was pretty interesting. And so if you have sinus problems and things like that, maybe, you know, go into one of the states that dry climate is good for you. You'd be able to do like that. But speaking of that, you know, I just want to my wife and I were in Texas, and we had gotten on a flight going there and a flight coming back, but the flight was overbooked when we were going to come back from DFW to Houston International. And
booked up.
Excuse me, it's humid here. and what am I talking about? Oh, so
you missed your plane.
Yeah. You know, and I didn't even look at the ticket at this point. You know, Donna's pulling the tickets and all that. And so we end up in, we actually get a car and drive from, the Oasis of DFW to the desert of between the desert that lies between Dallas and Houston. And we're riding along, and there's this little town called Fairfield. You're seeing these billboards, you're passing, you know, it says barbecue, you know. And of course, I'm not a fast food person. I was like, you know, I'll do it if I have to. And but I'm rather happy to sit down and have a meal and have a relationship and all that kind of thing. And I even talked to the person at the drive-thru. How are you doing? Is everything good?
Is this true?
It's like, you know how dogs play with their food? I gotta have a conversation with my food, you know. And so we're seeing these billboards like, nope, don't wanna do that. So I'm focused on these big signs that says barbecue coming up, you know. Mm. We drove halfway maybe to Fairfield, Texas, and We get there and we find out the billboard was bigger than the gas station that the barbecue
at a barbecue stand. Yeah,
but by that time we're starving, so we go in to the gas station in the middle of nowhere in the desert, where in the back there's somebody with a big, big knife chopping beef, and they're not talking. They're not talking much, and you got like a gas station up front. You have a store counter when you walk in, and you have a little kitchen area 7 inches behind that, and then you then you have like a sitting area to the right, and so you walk in, you say, well, I'm gonna do it, you know, I'm gonna try this. And so you ask them, you know, what's the best thing on the menu, and only one of them talked, and the one that was chopping never stopped chopping. It's just like, I'm freaking out here, we're in the middle of nowhere. You stop chopping for a moment, and is that beef? And so they tell me it's the barbecue sandwich, and I get the sandwich, and it was so good.
Really?
Oh, it was so good. You know, it was like we fun because we ate barbecue in another place of Texas, but this was the real deal. I mean, if you're ever going through, go to the gas station. I've been humbled by two gas stations. One, when I was in Franklin, North Carolina, and Bill was telling me, says, you got to go to this gas station. Eat this food, you know, and I'm like, okay, you know, I was there maybe about 2 weeks or something, and finally, out of all the places, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to this gas station and try it out. And you sit down at tables and you're eating there, but it's half and half, half a gas station, half a restaurant. And when I put the food in my mouth, one bite, it was so good. That I sat up in my seat, put my napkin in my lap, and looked around to see if anybody saw me slouching. It was so good. I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, it was shrimp and grits. And it was a chef that was one of the big chefs for somebody for a long time, just went there and retired and opened up. I'm like, oh my goodness. I even looked at the lady across the street who had a huge pile of calamari, and I'm not into that. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking it's got to be good. She had 7,000 of them on a plate. And I asked her, I said, do you mind if I try one of those? And she says, yes. I do mind.
Oh my God.
That's how good the food is. So here I am in this gas station in the middle of nowhere. And I want to eat it there because I want to, like, you know, just kind of really
experience it.
This place exists. You know, where are we?
Do we have pictures?
I know. Don and I are eating and looking around, and you have one couple, there's only like a handful of us there, that's obviously going to Dallas. And they're talking, no, I'm in this, they didn't say Podunk Town, but they're talking about, they're kind of like, we're just crossing through this place. We'll be there in a minute. No, that type of thing. But I'm looking and going, my goodness. And what do you do here? I mean, well, there's none. What do you do here, right? I'm curious. And so this young lady comes in with her friend, two girls, and they sit at the table over there, and they're both texting at the table.
Texting?
Yeah, texting in Texas. Okay. And I'm thinking, who are they texting? First of all, I'm thinking, like, hey,
the rest of the world.
They got like 4G here. I was like, there's got to be a tower or something. So I finally it's got the best of me. And I said, hey, how are you doing? And she just real talkative. She says, fine. And I said, what do you do around here for fun? I mean, what do you do? And she says, we drive four wheelers. I mean, it was just so direct. It was like, that's the answer. We drive four-wheelers. And I'm like, oh. You know, trying to be real appreciative to the concept. Is that all you do for fun? And she was serious. We drive them fast. And I said, that's great. It's great. And I'm going to go to the next thing. So what else do you do for fun? And she says, we drive cars fast. And I, probably why is because they're so far away from everything. You got to drive fast to get somewhere in time. But then I'm thinking, there's got to be something else. And so I asked her how many people's here, and she came up with a number. She said her town had 300 in it.
Oh, God.
And, yeah, I know. And I said, and the town that we were in, Fairfield, they said it had 40,000 in it. I don't know where they were. I don't know what they lived in. But you could see all the way to Mexico from there. I mean, it was just flat. It was flat, you know. And so I'm so glad that I entered the way I did enter. God knew how to bring me in. And and so then I said, well, what else do you do? And she says, we swim in cattle troughs.
Oh, gosh. You swim where?
In cattle troughs.
That's something they drink out of or something?
They swim in it. Yeah, the cows. She was drinking out of a glass. But
cows.
Yeah, they swim it. And so I'm thinking a trough, you know, a metal trough or something like that.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh, wow. We have to free her from this. You know, she doesn't know what exists. You know, there's other things. And but what they do is they go to the middle of a huge field where they have their cattle, and they dig this huge pond that where the cattle drinks. And I think you played on VFN Torch. You had a segment where they were like slingshotting themselves over this this body of water. That was a cattle trough.
Wow.
I mean, but think about it. I mean, it's not moving. It's still water, it being still, and it's, you know, dirt. And I'm thinking, like, probably can't see anything. I'm like, I don't think I would, you know, I just don't think I would get in it, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think. And so, but I thought, oh my goodness, I saw a video about you. It looked like they're having a lot of fun, didn't it? But I didn't realize that's the only fun they could have.
I guess
that was it.
Make it last.
They really made that puddle of water last, didn't they, on that video? Mm-hmm. Like, my goodness, did everything about it.
Sure did.
So when we got into Houston, we had a chance to see Barbara. Good morning, Barbara.
And
we just gave her a buzz. Hey, we're here. Open the door. We missed our flight and had a chance to meet her new dog. Barbara has a dog, to her whole family's amazement.
Really?
Yeah. She would tell her kids years ago, like, get that dog out of here. Put it in the pound.
What is it?
I don't know. As a matter of fact, I heard about a dog when I was on the radio. Listen to the radio. I can talk about that.
Goodness.
Can't believe it. You know, 5 minutes, he's ready just to cast the dog out.
Just 5 minutes. I mean,
he's surprised that a dog poos, you know. Anyway, so.
Yeah, well.
So the dog.
We'll revisit this again.
Her dog's name is Princess Ruby.
Oh, come on.
I'm serious. No. Princess Ruby. And it's the coolest dog. It is the coolest dog.
What kind
dog.
Is it?
Yeah, a mutt. I think it's a mutt. It's a small mutt.
Barbara would not get a mutt.
Right? No, she got him at the pound.
Really?
Pound. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It doesn't poop on the all that kind of stuff. It just sits there. It goes to the bathroom, flushes the toilet. And
is it full grown?
And while it's out of the kitchen, can I get you something?
Right.
No, it was not. Just give Pat a hard time. But this dog's just got all this energy and just, it's really cool and just, it would play with you. And it's not, you know, Max, my dog's 100 pounds. If he pounced on you, you'd know it. And she's got a brand new dog. Got a chance to meet Princess Ruby and spent a little time with Barbara before we flew out at, well, we got to the airport at 3 a.m., but we flew out at noon.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
No, we flew out at 7:15. We just had a little misreading on the ticket, and we got to Houston International Airport before the ants got there. I mean, we were there so early. We were the only ones in United Airlines. And the bus driver that kind of carries you from the car rental place to the thing, I mean, he was about to go. He's like, don't leave us here. We're going to be here all alone. No, he drops us off, you know. And so we go in to there. Of course, we're on the bus when the revelation hits, not me. With the revelation hit someone, and we look, oh my goodness, that's in 3 hours, you know. And so we get there, and the entire staff, all the employees of United, because the only seat is in the doorway. You're actually in the lobby doorway. It's like a 20-foot by 20-foot area. They have seats in there, so they have to pass you to go through those doors. So every single guy that packs luggage, that checks people in, that moves stuff, that directs planes, I saw them all. You had some people that were glad to work and some people that weren't glad to work. And you had some people that looked at me like, because I was kind of laid back with my feet on my luggage, pushed in the doorway.
Yeah.
And she goes, no, I don't think so. About moving the luggage and stuff. But so we spent a few hours in Houston International and got out at 7:15 in the morning and just flew right into humidity. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. We'll be right back. I want to continue talking about the kingdom of God. He says when you're born again, the very first thing you do is seek first the kingdom of God. You know, and that's the king's dominion in your life, taking over parts of your life. And then when he tells us to go out, he tells us all to go out. It's not you don't pray if you should go. you need to pray if you should stay. And by the way, I can tell you what he's probably going to say right now.
Yeah.
Because he had, think about it. He allowed the church, the original church, the original intent of God in Jerusalem, because we have a tendency. We all have a tendency as human beings. Mm-hmm. We just kind of gravitate towards comfort and convenience and predictability and what makes our flesh feel good. Mm-hmm. And the church has kind of hung around in Jerusalem. You know, they hung around Jerusalem. It's like, well, the goal, the original intent of Jesus is to go out into all the world, you know, Jerusalem, Judea. Hello, is somebody talking about Judea, right? I don't like Judea out there. I like Jerusalem. Yeah, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. And so in that, you know, they just kept staying. And so God allowed persecution to come to the church. And how you know he allowed it is because they ran the church off, but for some reason, they didn't run the apostles off. So the apostles still stayed in Jerusalem. If they were going to, if you're going to try to stop a nation, if you're going to try to stop something, you're going to go for the leadership. But the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And remember when Paul went back, he went back to the Christian Jews in Jerusalem and asked for wisdom about how what's happening out in the outskirts and what was going on in the Samaria and the uttermost parts. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, they had to be persecuted, Pat. Mm-hmm. They had to be persecuted to go out. I mean, that's how much God's into going out and spreading his kingdom. He says that when you go, when I send you out, I want you to preach the kingdom of God and preach that the kingdom is near you. And when they receive Jesus as their king, as their Lord, as their Savior, and they say, I want him to be the Lord of my life, then at that point, the kingdom has expanded. It didn't expand when you built a wing on your building. It didn't expand when you actually got a new staff member. Mm-hmm. It didn't expand when, you know, you read more scripture that day. It expanded when you told somebody about the king, and they said, oh my goodness, and they say, I know, and they receive him, and then the kingdom expanded from your heart to their heart, and now both of you guys are carrying the kingdom of God. We're like kingdom containers. Mm-hmm. That's the original intent. The original intent is for everybody to hear, everybody to be given an opportunity to receive the king and his kingdom and to begin to seek his kingdom. And then we're out of here because our king is coming back, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we're going to live with him forever. And if you're thinking it's about a building, if you're thinking it's about a stuff or the next song or your talent, you know, or your gift, listen, it's about you going to tell somebody about this King Jesus, that he loves them and he has a plan for their life and that he can forgive them and he can restore them and that there's hope and understanding that you need to seek his ways. And I'm going to encourage you, even though that you've been around, you know, the church for many years, you know, you've been around other believers, you may need to go back and find out the original intent. You need to get discipled.
Right.
You need to get discipled. You need to begin to abide with God. And you can do that. You can go to iAbide and request a free plan. We have a simple plan for you. If you don't have one already, go to iAbide.org. and request it. Immediately it will come to you. And we have some basic foundational tools for you. First of all, you can just start hanging out with God and abiding. We have even a video how to do it, you know, real simple. But then there's also discipleship. There's some Foundations of Faith booklets that you can get that begins to build. Because you've been around for a long time, you think you're supposed to know something. But there's people that graduated from high school that couldn't even read.
Mm-hmm.
So just because they went to high school don't mean they have an education. Just because you've been hanging around the church doesn't mean you've been discipled. And we're finding out over the years that people have hung around for years but don't even know the basic Jesus as Lord. Mm-hmm. And so be willing to say, you know what? I'm going to go back and get the foundation again because I have not even thought about going out and advancing the kingdom of God. I never thought about rightly relating that I am the church and that I need to go be the church and the word of God applies to me and not just to a building organization or that type of thing. So I want to encourage you, the kingdom of God, looking at the original intent of the church.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent his son so that you can have a relationship with him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's First Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. we're just talking about Texas. I didn't get a chance to talk about the fences in Texas.
The fences.
They make, instead of, you know, where most areas, they have like, you know, chain link fence or a
picket fence.
Picket fence, you know, where it's like a privacy fence or made out of wood. They have it made out of brick.
Brick fence.
I mean, it's the same. I mean, it has pillars, you know, like every 6 feet, but it has bricks where the pickets would go.
Wow.
And there's space underneath the bottom of it, so it's off the ground.
Really?
So it's not like a wall that goes down into the dirt, which block all the water flow, whatever. And I'm looking and thinking, they like brick. You know, I'm just thinking, as a matter of fact, I was talking to Steve Martinez there, and he goes, yeah, they do. They like brick. And I mean, they have brick houses, brick fences, brick companies. It's like, I couldn't figure it out. Then finally I found out what it is. It's the summers get so hot that it takes all the moisture out. And a regular normal privacy fence would just shrivel up and look like, you know, just nothing. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
And so I said, that must be hot. It must be hot. But it's dry heat. It's dry heat.
Yeah.
But that's something. Think about it. You're looking around in Texas. You're seeing some of these people who thought they'd get a privacy fence. Obviously, they came from the Gulf Coast, and you know, they have like a just kind of thatch it. It's like thatch it.
That's your twig. You know?
It's like thatch it. This sounds like that's so cheesy. And what it was a privacy fence at one time.
All right.
And so they build their fences in some areas out of, you know, brick. They got a brick house, a brick fence. They like brick. They like brick. And at first I thought it was strange, but then I saw the cheesy looking thicket fence.
Right.
That had all the issues with it later on. I thought, well, hey, you know, it's a fence. It's a fence. It'll do. It will do. It was pretty cool just to see all the things that are going on in our country. If you want to go to America and see what America looked like in history, go to Texas. Go to Texas, just get filled. It's like I'm free. I mean, you're like, I'm free. Oh my goodness, I could be anything I want to be. Oh, I'm land of the free, land of the brave, and I got to be good because everybody's got a gun. Okay, I want to share one thing with you, if you don't mind, and I have to find it before I can share it. But I'm looking for it now, John. Talk to us, man. What's going on with this mayor up there of yours?
Well, first of all, he's not my mayor.
He's
you
15
make that
miles
clear?
Away, 15 minutes away from you. I mean, that might as well be your mayor. Well, everybody works for him, lives in your neighborhood.
This is true. He is at it again, Pat. You'll love to hear this. Maybe I doubt it, but you know that he tried to ban large soda drinks, sugary drinks, and a judge overruled that.
So the judge overruled it.
Yeah.
They bought all those new cups and stuff, and now they
threw it out.
Exactly.
Are they going to pay these stores back for the money they had to invest?
I have no idea. The day before, I was supposed to go in. But he vows. Mm. He vows he's going to continue. He vows he's going to continue this ban here on soda somehow.
He's got to get a job. He's just got too much time on his hands,
obviously.
Well, they're calling him the most dangerous man in America
Who's calling that?
Huh?
Who called him the most dangerous man in America?
Glenn Beck called him the most dangerous man in America. Check this out. Well, he's trying to ban cigarettes and tobacco from being displayed in any stores, okay? Now, what they're trying to do is try to put this total ban now to reduce teens from smoking. So now that they have to put these cigarettes and tobacco products out of sight. Okay, this ban would mean that they would have to put them behind curtains, cabinets, under the counters. Okay, this is for real. I'm not joking. This is for real. Okay, and the stores, however, they still will be able to advertise and sell cigarettes. Okay, but they just can't put them on display. And you just think about all the things. I mean, ridiculous. These are ridiculous.
When you think about it, that America has said. You know, and this is, if you have not yet gone to VFN TV and watched SOS, A Tale of Two Kings, you're seeing it played out right before your very eyes.
Yeah.
Right before your very eyes.
Yeah.
And where Israel had Samuel as God's government, they chose wanted a king like the rest of everybody else. So God gave them Saul. So Samuel versus Saul. And America has said that we want the government to take care of our health care.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So when they, and you can imagine the mayor is probably taking care of all the health care of all the city employees. I mean, he's seeing the bottom line. We got to lower the bottom line. And it's like, okay, if you want me to take care of your health care, if you want me to pay the bill for your doctor visit, okay, I'll do it. And he's not, I mean, he's going to go. There'll be somebody else come there. It's the government doing it, all of us doing it. Then when I tell you to put the pork chop down, when I tell you to put the pork chop down, you know, when I tell you to quit drinking so much sugar, and I tell you to quit smoking because you're creating issues that we're having to pay for, and we got to lower our medical bills here. Mm-hmm. When I tell you to quit watching so much TV and playing video games and get out and run and jog.
Yeah. Right, right.
You know, that's only fair, isn't it? Isn't it fair that if you tell the government, pay my bills, and then they say, okay, well, we need to have a balanced budget here, and we're going to balance it on your exercise and your diet. We're going to keep you healthy, not because we care necessarily about you, but we don't want to have so many open heart surgeries. We don't want to have so many lung situations. We don't want to have obesity and all these different things. And so now they're going to come in, and this is what God told Israel through Samuel. He said, no, tell them what it's going to be like. And it's going to be just like Bloomberg's talking about, is everything's going to be clamped down on. And that's when government begins to take, I mean, anybody, if you just walked up to somebody and say, listen, take care of all my responsibilities, and the nerve of, if they say, okay, I'll do it, but then you get offended because they start managing your responsibilities. And he's like, really? That's like, that's what we're doing. That's what's happening right now.
If you want me to be your sugar daddy, you can't complain about how much sugar I give you.
Well, Bloomberg, he wouldn't be a sugar daddy because he don't believe in sugar. Yeah, I think he does because his BMI is about the same as mine.
You know, think about BMI.
Yeah, the body mass indicator.
Well, CVS is reportedly requiring employees to disclose information like their weight and their body fat and glucose level, okay, according to the Boston Herald. And they have until May to do this. Otherwise, they'll have to pay more for their medical coverage and pay a fine of $600.
I mean, you know, Dan Rather, he had to pay a huge bill because he had, I'm sure, a little few little things out of balance. You remember, he was there as a newscaster. I mean, we're just human. But the whole thing is we're turning all this over to the government instead of turning to God, and this is the results of it. They're going to be, I mean, if you say pay my medical bills and drinking a whole bunch of sugar gives you slices in your arteries and veins and gives you higher cholesterol contents and blocks your heart, you have a heart attack, and the government has going to have to pay for that, they're going to want not to happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to force good eating behaviors on us, nudge us, as the first lady said. They're going to nudge us.
Nudge us.
And it's like, yeah, I mean, and so politicians, remember this, politicians reflect the people who elected them. Mm. They have to be voted in by a majority of the vote. So if they want to stay in office, they have to do what the majority of the people want. And so they're not the issue. The issue is America, the people in America. We're putting these people in office. We're voting for them based on our personal values, and we're upset that they begin to walk out the very thing that majority of the people told them to do. Mm-hmm. And I mean, look at Pilate. Think about Pilate. Pontius Pilate was sitting here with Jesus and a murderer, and he could free either one of them, and he wanted desperately to free Jesus. Even his wife had a dream. Because don't mess with this man. You know, she heard in her dream. Mm-hmm. But the people just started, you know, hitting CNN. They started hitting all these different places and just shouting out. They didn't see it. They just began to shout, you know, that who do you want me to free? And they said, Barabbas, Barabbas, Barabbas. And so that was a big mob mentality. And so for him to stay in right political standing, because he could be removed from his governorship, he did what the people wanted. It punches Pilate. Wasn't as guilty as the people who demanded Jesus' crucifixion. Mm. And that's what's happening today. And nobody realizes that we are Josiah in America. It's a government by the people and for the people. And we allow these folks to be in office for a period of time to run our country, And if we don't like that, their values, you know, we can choose people that have our kind of values. Mm. And so we created our own problem. But if you go back and read the Bible, which I think more are doing now since this movie on the History Channel, you'll find out that's how it always has been. God just gives us what we ask for. He gives us what we demand of him. And he knows, even if it's bad for us, we say, you know, I want quail. I want to eat like I ate when I was in Egypt, right? Mm-hmm. And God says, okay, well, fine. That's what you want.
That's what you're going to get.
That's what you're going to get. And he gave him so much of it. Israel now, his chosen people, gave him so much of it that it came out their nose. I mean, think about it. That's a lot of dove. That's a lot of bird. And it started coming out their nose. And he said, while the meat was in their teeth, God's anger burned against them. When we turn to government instead of God, government in its place is right. But government out of its place, which is a decision we make ourselves and put it in the place of God, then it's not right. And while medical needs are being met, and maybe even coming out our nose, that God's anger can burn against us because we turn to government to meet our needs instead of God. And he may touch a government and bless a government to be able to do something like that, but just to outright write off God and turn to government. And you know that based on what values they're promoting, which is totally opposite of God. Mm-hmm. And people that are preparing for the presidential runs coming up, they're positioning themselves in values against God. Mm. You know, the ones who have total different values than God.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they are calling it a God thing. They're just restructuring God. Like they're restructuring their platforms, they're restructuring God. They're just creating a new God. And you're just watching people who profess to be Christians, you know, say things that is obviously wrong, but it just shows you how long that you can walk in a deceived area that all of a sudden you think what is wrong is right, and what is right is wrong. And you got to stay close to God. And we're getting in the days that even the very elect could be deceived. And our salvation is not in a political realm. And you need to vote if you're a Christian. You need to vote. You need to educate yourself. You need to spend time with God. You need to pull the lever for what's biblically best for your community and your nation. But your trust and your reliance needs to be on God. Because it's great deception is falling. Great deception is falling. And many people and much of the church is buying into false doctrines and a lackadaisical response to the obvious word of God. And the end of that's not good. Mm-mm. The end of that's not good because even Jesus says, you know, if he says it's better for you to gouge your eye out if your eye causes you to sin and enter into heaven, you know, with one eye than to go to hell.
That's right.
And if your hand causes you to sin, it's better. This is Jesus talking now. If your hand causes you to sin, it's better for you to cut it off and go into eternity, into heaven, you know, wounded, than to go to hell with both hands. And if your foot causes you to sin, what you see, what you touch, where you go is what he's really saying. That cut your foot off. Then he goes on to say this. He says, listen, and if you don't choose this, you go to a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, you go to hell. But he says, if a salt loses its saltiness, it's good for nothing. And what he's saying is, it matters. You could have once walked with God. You could have been the saltiest dude on the block. You could have been the person most in love with Jesus, and you could have been the most, you know, in tune with, like Enoch, in tune with God. But then you could have left your first love. You've got less saltier and less saltier and less salty and less salty to all of a sudden, if you don't watch out, you're going to lose your saltiness. And he says, with that, you're not good for nothing. And think about this. Jesus is saying then, based on what he's saying is, there's no such thing as just saying some prayer and all of a sudden that's like the get out of hell free card. It's having a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's
if he's telling you, if he would just say, if it was different, He would just say, hey, just say this prayer and believe, and it doesn't matter what you do. Why is he talking about gouging the eye, cutting a hand off, cutting a foot off? Because it matters. Truly, if we walk with God, we don't want to sin. If we do, you know, we repent and we have a place to do that, but it's not something we want to do. We want to please God. And I want to encourage you, you know, realize great deception is falling everywhere now. And they're trying to mix all these false gods in with the true God. And so few people are reading the Word of God that they're shocked at what happens on the History Channel when they watch a movie made for it. We'll be right back in a moment.
It is so cool when you're reading the Bible, isn't it, Pat? When you find out when finally your life, your Christian walk lines up with what you're actually reading in your Christian Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so cool that when you actually have a source you can go to, because
right.
It fits your life and your life fits the Word. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if you've been reading the Word of God and you've been reading as a history book, or somebody's told you that there's not any more miracles anymore, or somebody's, you know, told you that that doesn't apply anymore, and they've replaced the Word of God with their traditions, let me tell you something. You know, let every man be a liar and God be the truth. His word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God has not changed. Men change.
That's right.
God hasn't changed. You know, if that's you, if you are presently not connected or related to a body of believers, or if you are at a place that it just seems dead. It's like your prayers hit the ceiling. Any conversations about going deeper in God, people don't know what you're talking about. When you're talking about, let's go do what the Bible says, and they say, no, let's just go see a movie instead. I mean, things right. like that. If that's where you, listen, you know, maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing about it is you have to understand that when you step out of, I remember one particular person said this.
Mm-hmm.
They said, when I stepped out of tradition, men's tradition,
right.
and I stepped to the VFN, it was like stepping right into the book of Acts chapter 4.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
But you have to understand, this is not something you stick your toes in. When you want to follow God, you don't put a toe in it and find out what temperature it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, you know, walking with God. There's so many different men and women that are walking with the Lord that are in tune with what's going on. You know, George Barner writes in his book that people are leaving the traditional church not because they want to get away from God. It's because they're wanting to maintain their walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Think about it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But hey. I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay close to God, because you stand alone before God.
Mm-hmm.
You stand alone before God. No witnesses and no suspects.
That's
you
right.
are there all by yourself. So you are accountable for you. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're ready to dive into the things of God, to dive into the deep, and you're ready to say, I just want to believe God. I want the Word to be alive and living and active in my life. I no longer want it nullified, but I want it to be living and active in my life. Maybe VFN's for you. VFN stands for Vine Fellowship Network, a network of abiding churches who are rightly related, seeking to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org. Isn't it so cool, all of our Facebook fans out here and our friends that are just connected and listening all around the world.
Right.
You know, if you haven't yet friended us or liked us, I guess they call it.
Right.
When you choose like on our Facebook, it just keeps all the posts. If there's a post made about what's an upcoming program, a highlight, something, it just shows up, I guess, on your Facebook.
Mm.
You can go to vfntv.com and under areas to follow us, and you can just follow through our Facebook right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure can.
But it's just really cool. We want to say hello and a shout out to all of our Facebook friends that are out there. It's exciting how the message is going out and the feedback that we're getting, and we want to encourage you not only to go to our Facebook and like us, but once you've done that, you know, share some of these highlights. Go to the VFN TV blog and just copy the link of one of those blogs and encourage your fellow brother, your sister, your family member, those people that are in your group of friends that are in your Facebook. So many people need to be encouraged. And now you can go into the wonderful basket of opportunity on vfntv.com, go to the VFNTV blog, go to the highlights, and just copy something there and just paste it into your Facebook, and they'll get it and be able to listen to it on their phones or whatever. It's just really, really cool. Also, on your application, right there on your Android or your iPhone or your iPad, they're in the menu choice on the VFNTV app. You have our Facebook right there. You can click there, follow through, and like us. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
It's a slow day. VFN Radio. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I feel like I'm with Barry White or something. He's like, hello, welcome to VFN Radio today. It's like, is that like the 70s or something?
Oh, we like
anyway,
it.
The producer is looking at me really funny. You're welcome back to VFN Radio first hour. And he's even holding a number up to me. I got it. And John also is joining us. If you miss, you got to catch the first part about what we were talking about Mayor Bloomberg and what's happening in NYC, KEYMOUSE. The it's Mickey Mouse. He's like, that's like, isn't that Annette Bonicello? It was a long time ago.
I remember watching that show.
Oh, so cool. Can you sing it?
No.
John, can you sing it?
Nope, not me.
Oh, Lord, they are telling untruths. You know you sing it every day, back and forth, just clapping and dancing. It's Mickey time. It's Mickey time. Right. Anyway, moving on. I'm getting the look again and holding another number up to me. Right. I'm looking at what happened with Paul. And Paul in his ministry and as a Christian. And I'm looking at Acts chapter 16 when he was just doing ministry. He was just loving on people and helping them, tell them about God. And there's this lady that just kept on following him. She was somebody that had the ability to discern spirits and this type of thing. And she was used by her owner, her master, that would make money on her, money making opportunity. And which, first of all, hello everybody, that means just because somebody can discern a spirit does not mean they're of God.
And so she's
following him around going, hey, these guys are, you know, following Jesus, these are Jesus followers, this is Jesus, you know. And just begin to, after a while, about 2 or 3 days, he's just like, you're getting on my nerves. And if you've ever been to Israel, I mean, the secret's out if you're talking like that, because it's not that big. And so finally, he turns around and he just delivers her from the spirit, you know, come out of her. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, she's not a moneymaker anymore. She cannot discern anymore. So what was that? That was a demon devil that had gotten itself on her. Mm-hmm. That was, she had, was able to cooperate with, or vice versa, that somebody else was able to enslave or rule over or employ, mm-hmm, to make money on the whole scheme. And which means that pay attention to what you're doing and where you're going for a word. And so Satan was able to be delivered and driven out of this woman. The devil was, and so a demon was, and so all of a sudden now she had no more power. So her powers came from hell. Mm-hmm. It did not come from God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He says in the last days, many people are going to be deceived. It's because they're deceived because this person discerns things or miracles happen or something's going on, they automatically default. Oh, that's God.
Right.
You know, it's amazing. It's like, have you read anything? Anyway, so the guy that owns her or employs her is upset because he just, mm-hmm, lost his whole money making thing.
Yeah.
And he creates all these lies and creates, says, builds this whole thing up on Paul And Donna and Teresa hopefully are going to, they've read this book, Book of Martyrs, I believe it is, it's something of that nature, and share, but somebody served 8.5 years in prison, possibly in Iran, because it's because of a lie. You know, we got people in America that won't serve 8 minutes behind a red light without being offended for 6 months. This guy served 8.5 years and still loved Jesus all the way through it when somebody lied on him. And so they're lying on Paul, just like this guy that happened just recently, this is like in the 80s, and lied on Paul. And so they went and arrested Paul. They went and arrested him, and they beat him. They beat him. They didn't just, you know, you're going to go to jail, go to booking, we're going to get your attorney in the morning. They just beat the stew out of him. You think about it. And so here he is, you know, at the bottom, the very bottom of the prison. And like I said, the magistrate ordered them to be stripped and beaten and severely flogged and put and thrown into prison. Because this one man, you know, he lost his money. Let me tell you something. People can say what they want to, but it's amazing how many decisions even Christians make. They say it's for God, but they don't tell you they're God's money. It's a money decision. Nothing to do with Jehovah God. Our provider has to do with money. And this whole thing was being stirred up because the man lost his ability to make money. And so, but there's wisdom here. I mean, think about it. That first of all, we learn here that Paul was getting irritated by something. Deliverance is not always the thing. Just because you can, you in the power of Jesus' name can deliver somebody, that might not be what God wants you to do with that person. Because just because you can do it don't mean you should. And this is so important because so many people get so excited and they just start doing whatever. And it's like, wait, you need to listen to God. Because think about it. If he wouldn't have driven this demon out of this woman who wasn't even part of what was going on, really, she was just irritating him, then his ministry would have continued on. He picked a fight he shouldn't have picked. And now he's in jail. And I know men of God right now that are serving time because they picked a fight they shouldn't have picked. And the enemy used it to be able to take them down. And if Paul would not have driven this demon out, if he just dealt with his irritation that he was having because this woman was irritating him and realized, you know, just got to let that be and continue, he could have continued to minister on. So and it makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner's vision when he, in he writes about it in the book called The Torch and the Sword, that he's in this town and he has the sword, which is the word of God, but in the vision was a sword. And he was just so excited. It cuts, to see how well it cuts or whatever. He just swung it and cut this tree down. And when he cut this tree down, it was like, wow, that's cool. But he didn't realize that it created a storm of demonic activity that he could not stop in this city, in this vision. And it began to bring destruction and division and discord and all this different stuff. And he couldn't put the tree back. And it, he just felt so bad because he realized that he, even though he could, didn't mean he should.
All right.
You know, you don't practice the power of God on people, you know?
No.
You don't just get irritated and start throwing things out that you shouldn't be saying. You should be abiding with God and operating in it. And he realized he felt so bad about that. But how many times do you see people like, I know what you just said is right, but the timing and the way that you used it and how you said that really is offensive to the kingdom of God. It's not really beneficial. And besides, now you're in prison and you've been flogged. You know, is that really good? And you could have, you possibly could have prevented it. But I got something else, some big encouraging aspect of this too, that when here they are in the bottom of the prison, I mean, imagine there's nobody nursing them. So their skin's ripped open by the beating and the flogging and I mean, they could be offended, but they're not offended. And it's about midnight, and he and Silas are in the bottom of the prison about midnight, and they start singing. They just suddenly just start singing and praying and praising God. They're singing hymns. A mighty fortress is our God. We'll be going like, get me attorney right now. You know, I mean, it's like, is that awesome?
Yeah.
They're just singing these awesome songs to God and they're praising God. We get so caught up in things that are happening. It's like, I'm trying to hear God on this. Just do what he says. Just do what he says. Quit, you know, it's just, anyway, another story. So here they are. They're praying, praising God, singing hymns, where they're in shackles and they're in those yokes, whatever you call those yokes, you know, leg irons, whatever. And all of a sudden, as they're singing, everything begins to shake and quake, and the whole jail cell begins to just rock. And all of a sudden, the chains fall off, and the door flings open to the cell, and they're free to go. God literally responded to praise. And realize, I want to encourage you that when you're in difficult times and you're in difficult situation, even if you caused it yourself, if it caused it yourself, pause for a moment. Don't even think about the wounding. Don't think about what's done to you. Just begin to pray and praise God with all of your heart, and watch the bondage, watch the shackles, watch the prison cells of your emotion totally shake open by the power of God and be set free in Jesus' name. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.